Did you just buy your first house hack and are wondering what to do next? Buying a house in California as a young person is already hard enough. So if you just bought a house hack and you have inherited tenants, you're probably asking yourself, what am I going to do? In this episode, we're going to share all about how to make it as smooth of a transition as possible as a new property manager.
Welcome back to the Happy House Hacking Podcast. The podcast designed to help young people in California navigate the path toward happy home ownership.
We're your hosts, Owen and Camille Schwagerly. We are realtors, investors, and happy house hackers, dedicated to helping educate and empower everyone on the path towards happy home ownership.
In this episode, we go over, once you've bought that first house hack, what do you do next? Specifically, when it comes to becoming a landlord, how to deal with tenants that you've inherited on that property.
So I'm reminded about when we first bought our house hack, right? And as a refresher, if you didn't get a chance to listen to our very first episode back in 2019, our very first home purchase was a 4-unit property. We lived in one and rented the other 3 out. So when we bought the house, we inherited 2 tenants and we had 2 vacancies. So it was kind of a mix, right? We didn't really know how to go about it, but it was a nice introduction to property management for us because we only had 2 tenants to start out with. So today we're only going to talk about what to do when you have inherited tenants. And in the next episode, we'll talk about what to do to fill your vacancies. So anyway, when we inherited our tenants, I remember being really nervous and unsure what to do, especially because one of the tenants had already lived there for 10 years and he knew the property very well. And this was a brand new home for us.
Yeah. So it's very interesting when you go in to buy a property, there's a lot of pros and cons to buying a property with tenants versus not having tenants. And so what we found was you're entering this new relationship. And so you have to establish new expectations on what roles you're playing versus them, especially since you're going to be neighbors with them.
Right. And I'd say too, that when you are buying a multi-unit property, so we're talking about 2 to 4 unit residential properties, it's very common to inherit tenants. And in fact, buying a multi-unit property that has tenants in place usually makes the property more valuable on the purchase because it shows the property is already capable of making money. So if you are a house hacker buying a multi-family, it's very likely you're going to inherit at least 1 tenant. So establishing your professional relationship on the front end is critical.
Mm-hmm. And this is the House Hacking Podcast, after all. So we're talking about this house hacking strategy. And for those of you not familiar, we'll give a quick refresher. It simply means you're buying a property with the intent of renting out some portion of that property. And then you can use that rental income to help offset your cost of living and your mortgage expense. And so another one of the pros about buying a property with tenants currently in place is a lender will use the rental income from those tenants to help you qualify for that mortgage.
Yep.
They'll take 75% of that rental income and add it to your total income to help you get the loan to qualify to purchase that property.
And you're already making money by the time you close escrow. So who doesn't want that?
That's
a great benefit of inheriting tenants. So there's so many pros to inheriting tenants. And we just want to share the tips that we wish we knew in advance and what actually helped us, I feel, make a smooth transition on the front end.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And there are some things to be aware of too on the not so positive side, the cons of buying a property with tenants in place. Those tenants, you didn't pick them. They might not be as quality to your standards of what you're used to or what you would prefer.
Yeah, such as financial income or, you know, different rules and regulations that might be different than what you're expecting to do.
The other thing too is if you're buying a property, let's say the landlord wasn't doing a good job raising rents each year, you might have a property where rents are way, way below market. And in California, those rents are protected. We have the California Tenant Protection Act, which basically says that you can't evict someone without just cause. You need to have a valid reason to ask someone to leave. And rent is also capped statewide, so you can only raise it 5% a year plus inflation. So those are some of the cons to be aware of when buying a property that already has tenants in it.
Right. So let's go back to 2019. We're brand new. We're starting out. We're young. This is our very first house. We have two inherited tenants. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, one of these guys knows the property way better than I do. What am I going to do? And he was actually very nice. He was, you know, he gave us some valid history. And I'd say that if you ever inherit a tenant who has been there longer than, even 5 years, I feel like is a good amount of time, who knows different quirks about the property or past history, just respect that and learn from that and validate that, because there is a little bit of ownership in their minds that they have with the property that the minute you start to kind of combat that and disrespect that, you're going to have issues, especially if they're your neighbor. Now, at the end of the day, you are the property owner. You are the property manager. You are the one paying the bills. It's up to you to take care of this property. No one's going to care for it more than you, right? So you need to establish your level of professionalism while still respecting the fact that they've lived there for a very long time.
Definitely. And in 2019, when we came into house hacking, just kind of what was our reason? What was the big why behind it? We wanted to have financial freedom. And that's what this podcast is all about, how to help people have that financial freedom. So through the house hacking strategy, once we were able to move into the property, mm-hmm. we were able to renovate, rent out, and get the rents to cover our mortgage, which gave us that autonomy and the ability to travel and go to Europe for a month mm-hmm. and go on a cruise to Mexico that year and really enjoy ourselves while the house was paying for itself. And so that's the big why when you're moving towards financial freedom and the house hacking strategy. You want to have a very clear why. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, I love that you're bringing it back to that, because that's going to help set the tone for why you are establishing a good relationship with the residents that you end up having on your property. So for us, in order to achieve our big why of what we wanted to do, which was be able to live comfortably as far as financially comfortably goes, not physically comfortably, but financially within our means on the central coast of California, we knew we needed to get creative by having a multifamily property to help offset our living expense, which was our largest expense that we had. So we needed to have good relationships with our new tenants while also establishing that level of professionalism. So the first thing we did is we looked through the lease agreements and we said, okay, they're month to month and they're below rent. So with the proper notice given, which every state you need to look into what your rules and regulations are. So with the proper notice given, we reached out to all of the tenants and said, hey, we're Owen and Camille Schwagerly. We are the new property managers. We are on site property managers and we live here on this property. We're going to be meeting with you sometime in the next couple months to talk about a new rental rate terms and putting you on a lease agreement that we have in store. So with the change of property management from the previous people, we want to set up our own form of payment, our own rules and regulations, and just make sure we're on the same page. So the two tenants totally gung-ho about it. I think it was about a 60-day timeline before we ended up getting them on those new leases. And we just raised rent slightly. It was, I think, gosh, even below 5%. It wasn't very much, but it was enough to just kind of get going. And so we met, we sat down, we went through our new lease, we went through our rules and regulations, signed everything. We gave them a phone number and an email to contact, and it was not our personal phone number and email. So that's something that was very big for us. We wanted to have a more streamlined form of communication where both Owen and I could receive messages at the same time. Every maintenance request, every phone call, every email went to one account instead of two different accounts. So we set up a separate property management phone number and email, gave it to the residents, said, please put every maintenance request in writing so we could keep track of that. We set them up on an online payment system that's free for us to use and free for them to use as well. So we were getting digital payments instead of what do they call it? They call it mailbox money. Instead of getting mailbox money, checks in the mail, we were getting it online through payment. So that was the best thing we did from the get-go because it made sure rents were paid on time. It was efficient. We didn't have to be in town to collect rents. And it was very clear what the rules and regulations were for the property.
Right. Since you're living right there, it might be easy to say, hey, if you ever need anything, just come knock on my door.
Come knock on my door.
You know, if the toilet goes out, just walk over, pay me rent, give me money, just walk. No, you do not want that. That just creates no privacy, no professionalism. And we wanted to treat this as a business and make sure that our relationship with our tenants was professional. And so we set up those mechanisms. We even created a DBA, a doing business as clause for a property management company so that we would be even more professional and we'd have that perception that this is a professional company. We didn't let them know that we were the property owners.
Right. Yeah. Every time we were asked, are you the owners? We didn't say no. We said, we are the property managers. And that was sufficient. And it's true. We are the property managers. And it's not necessarily information they need to know that we are the new owners of the property. So we really valued that degree of separation, mm-hmm. right? Because it was critical to maintaining that level of professionalism where, hey, we're just the messengers. We're just the property managers. These are the rules and regulations. And we didn't have any issues with the tenants. It was a very smooth transition. And I think it's because we put in these systems in place to help make it easy.
Right. And sometimes people will ask, hey, are you the owner? Because they think, oh, if I'm dealing directly with the owner versus a management company, I can get away with stuff. Mm-hmm. I might be able to slide. I might be able to build a relationship with the owner directly and then not pay rent on time. Or maybe they'll let me have a dog or a cat, or, you know, they might let me do things that a management company, which is professional, wouldn't let mm-hmm. me do.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so that was really important for us, especially since we were living there. Mm-hmm. It's you're literally next door neighbors. We were sharing walls with yeah. our new tenants. We needed to make sure there was that degree of separation as much as we could have.
And being young people in California, we wanted to make sure people respected us, because being young, sometimes people don't respect yeah. or expect you to actually own real estate. Because the age of the first-time homebuyer has gone up significantly over the years. It's, I think, trending in the 30s or something like that now for when people first buy a house. And so it was unexpected that young people were, you know, buying a property and living in it.
Right. Yeah. So those are our biggest tips that we can give. And Owen mentioned briefly about rent control. So look in your own state for what the rent control rules are. But in California, you cannot increase rent more than 5% every year plus inflation. So maybe about 8%, but it depends on what inflation is. So for any landlord, it's important to establish that professionalism. So that way you have the ability to raise rent, because so many times people are like, oh, I can't raise rent on them. They're so nice. We have dinner together and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, okay, wait a second. This is a business. This is not a friendship. This is your business. Mm-hmm. And you are shooting yourself in the foot if you are not raising rent, because your expenses increase every single year as a property owner. And if you're in a situation where you have to sell in 10 or 15 years and you're stuck at rents from the past, your property is not going to be nearly as valuable as it would be if you had fair market rents.
Definitely. It's so true. Cost of everything doing business-wise is going up in California. For example, insurance alone, the premiums have jumped up quite astronomically in some parts of California. I've heard about people whose fire insurance has doubled or even tripled, or they've even been dropped from fire insurance coverage. And so if your expenses are going up that fast, but your revenue isn't matching that rate, you're going to be in trouble and you may be underwater and at a spot where you can't even raise rents fast enough to cover those rising costs. Mm-hmm. So every year as a professional, make a notice that you're going to tell your tenants, hey, we're going to raise rents. You know, we're following the rules. We're looking at what the inflation index is and we're raising rents accordingly.
Mm-hmm. So in summary, it's so important to just be as clear as possible, right? One of my favorite Brené Brown quotes is clear is kind, unclear is unkind, right? So you have to at first get clear with what your rules and regulations are with your spouse, if you bought this property with your spouse, or with your business partner, if you have partnerships involved. Get on the same page about what your rules and regulations are. Come up with a way to express those clearly, professionally, and kindly to your new tenants, making it as seamless as possible, and then doing all you can to enforce those rules and regulations. So for example, if you have a late fee policy where if you don't pay rent by the 5th of every month, it's going to be an extra $75, and then you don't enforce it, you're just going to have that snowball effect where every time they're late, they're going to expect you to waive that $75 late fee versus the pain and being kind of uncomfortable saying, I'm sorry, but this is the rule. You signed the lease saying that, yes, I will pay a late fee if I don't pay that by the 5th of the month, and you have to enforce that.
Yeah.
They're going to pay it, and they probably won't do it again because it's a painful lesson to learn.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to be clear, to be kind. You need to have it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing about being professional is you want to have a written lease agreement.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I would strongly recommend using the California lease agreements that, if you're in California, of course, that are already prepared by California state attorneys. You are welcome to write your own. It's just going to hold up better if it's been prepared by a professional. So look into that as an option. If you have an attorney friend, you could also ask them to write one for you, but it will be more cost effective if you use what the state has already provided.
Yes. So thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. And please watch the next episode, because on that one, we're going to go more in detail on how to fill your vacancy if you bought a property and you have vacant units. And we're going to go more in detail on the actual mechanics of a lease agreement and how to set your business up for success and how to interview and qualify tenant applicants as they come in. So you really don't want to miss that next episode. So please subscribe and like and follow this podcast and share the message so that we can help more young people get into a home that they can comfortably afford in California. Thanks so much, everyone.